The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
We have been on our series on divine inspiration, lessons from the ancient. And we have had four, this is our fourth class and the last class for the month. And I'll quickly do a run through of what we have been speaking on. I've been privileged to have been teaching in this class for the last 3 weeks. And this is the fourth week. And we have gone through 14 lessons so far. And we'll go through it real quick before we go into the next few tonight. Lesson number one, lesson from the ancient, which will bring forth divine inspiration for you, is to stand out. This is for many of us who were not in the classes that we have been going through, so that you can also take notes and know where we have been through. To stand out, even if you have to stand alone. Lesson number one, lesson from the ancient, is that you have to stand out, even if it is necessary for you to stand alone. It's the life where sometimes, and a lot of times, you are faced with circumstances whereby you are all alone. You are O-Y-O, on your own. And this is necessary sometimes to be able to get to where God is taking you. Number two lesson is to endeavor to secure parental goodwill. Endeavor to secure the goodwill of your parents, spiritual and biological parents. Try as much as possible to ensure that you are in good standing with your spiritual parents. Let them be happy with you always. Also, try as much as possible to be in good standing with your biological parents. This is also very important. Number three lesson is that you must have a vision and a dream concerning your future. You must have a vision. You must have a dream. You must have a dream of something that you are trusting God for in the future. Number four lesson is reveal your dreams to enemies. Don't allow enemies to disrupt your progress. Don't allow enemies to be a dog in the middle of your progress. Don't be a run mouth whereby anybody that you see, either they even show you that they hate you, you let them know your plans. That also happened to Joseph when he knew that his brother hated him to the extent of killing him, and he still revealed his dreams to them. Don't reveal your dreams to enemies and adversaries. Number five lesson is never expose your life vision to those who are envious of your achievement. Don't speak about your plan and your vision to those who are like envious. They are never happy when you are happy. People who display envy, when something good is happening around your life, they are not happy. When you are making progress in your office, they are not happy. When your family is advancing, they are not happy. People that always display envy around you, don't reveal or expose your vision to them. Number six lesson is always walk in character and trustworthiness. They are handed over resources. What you can do is to multiply it. Don't eat up the resources. Don't display a character of untrustworthiness. Anything handed over to you, let that thing increase. Don't allow lack of character to destroy you. We have many in the scriptures who were destroyed through lack of character. I also said that character is more important than charisma. How many of you also remember that? Say, character is more important than certificate. You can have certificate, OND, HND, BSc, PhD, but when you lack character, you are useless. Character is your greatest asset. Number seven lesson is never bow to the pressure to compromise your standard for God, in God. Don't compromise your standard. You have a standard. Keep the standard. Keep the standard improving. Keep the standard progressing. Keep the standard up. Don't compromise your standard. Don't compromise your standard. You have a standard in your dressing. Don't compromise. You don't say this is what now in vogue. You have a standard. Keep up with your standard. Very soon, those who are not up to that standard will begin to look up to you. Somebody's here tonight. Very soon, they will begin to look up to you. People in your family will begin to look up to you. In the name of Jesus. Number 8 that we have learned so far is don't bother about the reaction of your enemies on your stand for integrity. Don't bother yourself when they say this one, that one, that one. Don't bother yourself. Don't let it bother you that they say that you don't like cheating in exam. Don't let it bother you at all. Don't let it bother you that they say that you are not carrying boyfriends or man friends all around like they are doing. And they are talking to you. There was a lady who was bothered about what people were saying. I read the story of a lady, a student of the University of Lagos. Her friend said, the reason why it looks as if your breast is small is because you have not been having sex. Look at us. The reason why our breast is very okay, is big and okay is because we are having sex. Like, say, just enjoy yourself. And then she went to a pastor to say, do you think it's true? The pastor said, it's not true. But somehow she said, let me just try. So she went to sleep with somebody and she got pregnant on the spot. She had, I think, ectopic pregnancy, and she lost her womb from there. Don't bother yourself on the way people are talking about their reaction to your stand on integrity. Don't bother yourself about it. Let them call you. People have called us many names. People like us. Many names. Many names. He's not smart. They are not smart. They are not sharp. How many of you have heard that? You are not sharp. Why are you behaving like you are not a sharp guy? A sharp babe. Very soon, those that you think they are sharp, their sharpness will be like razor to them and to cut them off. So please, don't bother about your enemy's reaction to your stand on your on integrity. Number 9 is always maintain excitement and joy everywhere you find yourself. Always maintain excitement. Don't allow anybody to catch you sad or unhappy. Don't allow anybody to catch you sad or unhappy, even if you are fasting. Hello. There are some people who once they are fasting like this. Kai. It's like when you shut down a laptop. Their laptop just shut down. They can't get up. They can't stand up. They can't smile. They can't greet. They can't say, if you greet them, I appreciate you. Or you even greet them, say, in your life, like this, in your life. In your life. Don't. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Maintain excitement anywhere you find yourself. In the house, let joy be in your house. Disseminate joy. Let happiness flow around you. Let joy be around you all the time. Release joy to people anywhere you find yourself. Number 10 is always place service ahead of status. Don't always think of status. There's no entitlement in a title. Don't think of status. I want to be in this social position. Jesus said, anyone that wants to be a leader amongst you must first be your servant. Anyone that is thinking of being a head must first be the head of servants before he can ever think of. So don't think of status. Don't let your life be revolved around status. There are some people, if they don't have position, if there is no title around their work, chairman, general something, you know, something like that. They don't like it. Say they place me as a small person. No, don't think of status, but service. Number 11, never hide your gift. I think that was last week. Never hide your gift. Disseminate your gift. Use your gift. Don't cover up your gift. God put it there. If you are giftless, you are useless. I said all that last week. Don't allow anything to cover up your gift. Your gift is for your is a benefit that God gave to you. Everyone has a gift. You are not useless because you are gifted. And your gift is different from another person's gift. That's why you have nobody to envy. There's no need to envy anybody because you have your own. She has her own. He has her own. So don't bother yourself. The style of singing of people are different. Some are treble, some are alto, some are what? Soprano. Different. So don't bother yourself. That one that God has given to you, sing it unto the Lord and be happy and be excited about what God has done for you. Never hide or hoard your gift. Number 12 is never depend on man more than God. Never in your life place your trust in man, no matter who that man is. Don't rely. You say, I rely. You are the one I rely on. Don't rely on man. We can fail. In fact, the more you rely on man, the more likelihood that the man will fail you. Don't rely on man. Rely on, appreciate men. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God for the grace. Don't ever place all your trust in man like it's man that will do it. God is the doer. And I spoke in this area, in the area of the glory of God, that God does not share his glory with any man. Did you remember that? I said, God will never share his glory with any man. That's why some people, they are not able to get their breakthrough, because all their trust is that they have, all their money is coming from one direction. Remember I told you the story of one of my uncles who said, I'm going to do this and do this, and then eventually he died. So don't let your mind already be focused on a particular person, that person is the one that God will use to give you blessings in this Christmas. Focus your mind on God. Number 13 is always go the extra mile in life. Anything you are doing, go the extra mile. I said, there is no stretch without a spread. There's no spread without a stretch. It's not possible for you to matter in life except you stretch yourself. Jesus said, how am I straightened? How am I straightened? So anything you want to achieve, you have to stretch yourself. You have to stretch yourself so that you can attain where God has destined, purposed, assigned for you. Number 14, where I stopped last week, is proper deployment of your passion and energy to all your responsibility. Deploy your energy to your assignment. Any assignment you are doing, deploy your energy. Deploy your energy. Deploy your energy. Deploy your energy. Don't do half-baked deployment of energy. Any assignment that God has given to you in God's house, I said the only thing you should do is to overdo it. Don't underdo it. Overdo it. Don't let God say, you didn't do it well. Try as much as possible to do it and do it effectively. I was reading the scriptures this afternoon. I think I stumbled on a particular scripture. My prayer for somebody here today is that what God has in store for you, you will get it in Jesus' name. I say you will get it in Jesus' name. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. So anything that you are doing is not in vain. It's not a wasted effort. I pray that the Lord will bless you in Jesus. So these are the 14 lessons that we have learned so far. And I want to believe that you have been blessed. Is somebody ready to fire on tonight? And we're going to conclude this series tonight. And I trust God that your life will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Number 15 lesson that will bring about an inspiration for you is never spend everything that you earn in life. In Genesis 41, 33 to 36. Genesis 41, 33 to 36. Joseph recommended to Pharaoh and said, there are 7 years coming these 7 years. Genesis 41. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of plenty. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Verse 36. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Can we have this in another version? This last verse 36. What is Joseph saying here? There is going to be a period of excessive abundance. There is going to be a period where you have so much going for you. Abundance of money, abundance of wealth, abundance of cars, abundance of resources, abundance of everything you can think of. During that period, don't spend it all. We are in a generation where many are spendthrifts. Every kobo that comes. Now look at this. You know what Joseph did? Joseph said 20% of whatever comes to your hand, save it. Every food that comes to this town, that comes to this Egypt in this period, 20% of it should be saved and kept aside for 7 years. Many people's capital that they should have used to start business is inside Sockaway. Because immediately after closing, they branch at Tantalizers, branch at Mr. Biggs, eat fish, one single fish of 14,000, 15,000. People do it in Abuja and Lagos and many other places. Even here. I've not been in such places, but I know they exist. Don't be away. In Proverbs 21 verse 20, Proverbs chapter 21 verse 20, the Bible speaking there says, precious treasure, no, on the KJV, this was already late. So, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it all. There's treasure to be desired. But a foolish man, so what does it mean? When every money that comes to your hand is spent up, you are foolish. When everything, resources that comes to your hand is blown up into the air, it's a sign of foolishness. May you not be foolish in Jesus' name. I say, may you not be foolish in Jesus' name. This is how to survive in hard times. The savings culture is the culture that brings about prosperity in recession, in times when others are finding it difficult. What are we saying this evening? No matter how much you earn, put something aside. 100% what you earn, 10% of it is for God. You have 90%. Out of that 90%, 10%, 20%, put it aside. Then discipline yourself to live within that. That's why some people have children. A woman gets pregnant and the husband knows that the wife is pregnant, happy and excited. And after 9 months, he's running after people all over the place to come and pay his hospital bill. He didn't have a savings culture. A woman earns so much throughout the year and then she's buying and buying and buying and buying and buying and buying and buying. And then when there's a need, maybe her husband has a little shortfall, instead of for her to put her hand in her pocket to supplement as a helpmeet, there's nothing on ground. May that never be your portion in Jesus' name. So, note the following under this lesson number 15. Never spend everything you earn. You need to have a storehouse to generate your supplies. To guarantee your supplies, sorry. You need to have a storehouse. Every one of us must have a storehouse to guarantee the supplies of God into your life. B, that's 15B now. It is stupidity to always spend all the income that was released into your hand. It's a sign of stupidity. In 2 Kings 4 verse 1 to 7. I know you know that story of that widow who was one of the wives of the sons of the prophet, who had a crisis, and the man of God, Elisha, went there. And he said, what do you have in the house? What do you have in the house? 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. What do you have? Pastor Moshebi, it's high time we found something to do about this thing. It's becoming an embarrassment. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband. Now, the husband of this woman borrowed and borrowed until he died, and the two sons were taken as slaves. And the Bible says the woman called on the man of God, and the Bible says thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors took is come to take unto him my two sons to be born men. But the man of God said, what do you want? Next verse. What do you have? What do you have in the house? That is there any savings? And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? Can you see that question? I want to bless you. I want your life to change. But what do you have in your hand that you kept aside as a reserve? And she said, thy handmaid had not anything in the house. I don't have anything except this. If she didn't have that pot, nothing would have been done. Save a pot of oil. That is why many Christians, God has visited their house or their businesses to bless them, but he didn't see any reserve. So he moved to another place where he can have reserve. This is one of the reasons why the rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer. Because when blessing is moving and it gets to where there is blessing is well managed, it enters. Where he sees scarcity, he doesn't want to enter. That's why somebody will go to the mountain of 670 staircase as a poor man and return back as a poorer person. And he said, go borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Yes, please. Yes, please. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Now, verse 5, we'll stop at 5. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, and pay the debt, and leave thou and thy children of the rest. Never spend all. There are some people, they work throughout 1 year work, January to December, and there's not one naira that they can quickly run to when there's a crisis. It's not a good way to live one's life. It's not a good way to live one's life. I'm talking of 15C now. The blessing of the Lord is in search of your storehouse. The blessing of God is in search of your storehouse. The blessing of God is in search of your storehouse. The blessing of the Lord is in search of your storehouse. 15D, the savings is the security of the future. Like I said earlier in Genesis 41, 32 to 36, your savings is your security. So learn to save. Learn to save. Turn to your neighbor and say, learn to save. Learn to save. Every day of your life, ensure that there's something, no matter how small. No matter how small, learn to put something small aside. Learn to put something small aside. No matter how small, let it be there. Don't eat it up. Don't spend everything and put it where you not get. Don't save under your pillow. If you save under your pillow, you will spend it. Don't save under your pillow. If you save under your pillow, you will spend it. Save it in a place where it is safe, where it is convenient, where you can just go there anyhow and take it. I pray that the Lord will bless you all in Jesus' name. Lesson number 16 that we are learning tonight is don't pass away with your past. Don't pass away with your past. Genesis 45 verse 4 to 8. Genesis 45 verse 4 to 8. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. I love this very much. A person that has sold you to slavery, that even wanted to kill you. What a heart. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray thee. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved. That is, I am not grieved, so you bore no mother to be grieved. Nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has thy famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be hearing nor harvest. Yes, please. In Egypt, and to save your wives, your life, your lives, by a great deliverance. What's Joseph trying to say here, in essence? Don't bother to be grieved about me. It is God that made this happen. What is he trying to say? I refuse to sink with my past. I refuse to be destroyed because of my past. I pray for somebody here today. You will not be destroyed because of your past. I say your past will not destroy you. There are many Christians, they only live in the past. What they did for me, what that person did for me 10 years ago. What my parents did for me years ago. My father abandoned me. My mother abandoned me. My husband did not take care of me in 7 years ago. You can't afford to live your life like that. How many of us have seen any car whereby the driver, this is the steering of the car, and the driver faces back like this and the car is able to progress? Impossible. You can't back your future and make progress at the same time. Note the following key points. Never allow your past to pass. Never allow your past to make you pass away with it. Key points number one, that's 16a. Never allow your past to allow you to pass away with it. Number 16b, never allow where you are coming from to arrest where you are going. Don't allow where you are coming from to put a chain on your hand that you cannot go to where you are going. Don't allow the past to hold down the glorious future that you have ahead of you. How many of you know that many of the great men that we know in this world had one form of challenge or another in the past? Maybe parents, maybe poverty, maybe educational constraint. I had my own fair share. And one of these days, I will tell you some stories about myself. So you must understand that many of us, and many people who have been successful and who are still successful, have gone through diverse kinds of challenges. And they are still progressing. How? They don't focus on the past. They don't look at the past. They don't allow the past to sink with them. My prayer is that God will help us in Jesus' name. 16c. Until you let go of the past, you never lay hold on the future. Genesis, Philippians 3 verse 13. Philippians chapter 3 verse 13. Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards that mark. May God give you the grace to press towards that mark in the name of Jesus. So don't allow anything to, don't live as if you are still living in year 2000 or year 1998 or 90. Live in year 2017, November 29. Don't believe it. Don't let all your thoughts be it. There are some people, they will sit down like this for 7 hours and be thinking about their past. What I went through 7 years ago. What I went through 14 years ago. That cannot help you. I think God allows years. God broke now our lifetime into years to allow us to be able to make reasonable progress on a consistent basis. He broke down lifetime into days so that if one day, if yesterday, for example, had a problem, don't allow today to also have the problem. Hello? Don't import problem of 14 years ago into this year. You were rejected yesterday. Thank God for that. Rejection does not mean destruction. In fact, rejection can be your pathway to celebration. Because if they did not reject Joseph, if his brother did not reject him, he would never get to where he is going. So sometimes when people, listen to me, friends, you need enemies. Because if you don't have enemies, you'll be too comfortable in life. You need enemies. Your enemies for you. Your enemies push you. When you want to say, hey! You're like, whether it's the soil we are now praying against me. Oh, yeah? God! That's how to do it.
But if there were nothing like enemies, many, some even have enemies, they don't even care about their life. Talk less of people that don't even.
Don't pass away with the past. 16D. When you minimize the past, that is negative past, you maximize the positive future. When you minimize the past, the negative past, you suppress the thoughts of the past. You have failed in the past, thank God. Don't maximize the mistakes of the past. Minimize them and maximize the future. It may look small today, but very, very soon, you will emerge as the star that God has destined you to be. You might have made a mistake maritally in the past. It's not a big deal. People have known it. People have made such mistakes before. Don't allow that mistake to now allow you that you are now not able to move forward to where God is taking you. You made a mistake before in business. You lost so much money. I read the story of a man who lost $1 billion in business. And by the evening, he went to the golf course and he was playing golf. And people came to him. We just read in all the papers, is there that you lost $1 billion, that your business is down. He said, forget. He said, that is the past. I will make it again. I will make it again. The God that helped me to make it before is still there in my place. They say, the God that is cooking and staying where the pot is has not left the pot. I think your own has left, nigga. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know? Oh God. You can't separate Proverbs from wisdom. Your wisdom level, there is an attachment between your proverbial utterances and your wisdom. That's why Jesus was always talking in Proverbs. Always talking in Proverbs. Sometimes you will talk in Proverbs, you might not understand. Say, Jesus, what were you talking about that time? May the Lord help us. I say, may the Lord help us. Your wisdom level will soar. In the name of Jesus. 16E. Focus on the future is key to speed and acceleration. Habakkuk 2 verse 2. Focus on the future is key to speed and acceleration. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the table that he might run that readeth it. When you are a person of focus on the future, you have speed. Is somebody here today? God will grant you speed. I say, God will grant you speed. Anyone who focuses forward will always run forward. 16F is there is no future in the past, so you cannot exist in the past and access the future. You can't focus on the future, on the past, and assess your future. Nope, no way. You can't focus, particularly on the negative past. And what they did for me, that guy cheated me. That. So because of that, you know, somebody else comes to talk to you and says that he loves you. And he's shaking like this, that he can't do without you. I can't do without you. And then you cannot even hear what he's saying because somebody else, like some years ago, disappointed you. You can stay single like that. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. I said, may the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Lesson number 17. Lesson number 17 says, your suffering is showing your offering. Your ministry is also showing your misery is also showing your ministry. Your suffering can be showing what you can offer. That's what it means. And the misery, the problem you are going through now, can also be showing you where you are going. Now, listen to me. Sometimes in life, the challenges you face is an indication of your glorious future. A challenge-free life, a life that has no challenge is most likely a life that's going nowhere.
A lot of times when you have so much challenges, celebrate God. It's an indication that something is happening. The reason why the devil is waging so much war against you is because you have a glorious future. The misery you are going through shows that you have a ministry. The problems that you are going through shows that something is happening that is making the devil uncomfortable in his kingdom. So watch it. Anytime that it's as if all the problems of, let's say your family is Ajayi now. All the problem of an Ajayi family, they mobilize it for your house. The problem your father, your mother, your brothers, you have, everything just descended on you alone. It shows that there is something that God wants to bring out of your life. Hello. Every time things are very tough, every time things are very, very difficult, it's an indication that God wants to bring out some. Can you imagine Joseph? A young man of 17 years that his father gave cloth of many colors, already in problems. Hatred of the highest order. I don't understand how somebody will hate his own brother to the extent that he want to slaughter the brother. You know, that is the peak of hatred. That's like the highest level. Until one of them said, please, don't kill him, don't kill him, don't kill him. They said, okay, oh yeah, let's sell him off. And they sold off their own brother. That is, and then they slaughtered a sheep and digged his cloth of many colors inside and took and mobilized it to the father and said, this is the evidence that your son is dead. Evil conspiracy. Evil gang up. Them, if it was in present Nigeria, they would have called all of them witchcrafts. Because that's like a witchcraft operation. It's similar to a witchcraft operation. All mobilized for a 17-year-old boy. But 13 years later, he was already a changed man. 13 years later, the garment of prison was removed. 13 years later, he was brought out of the dungeon. Maybe you are here, your own has been for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Everything is as if it's not working. You and your husband doing everything is not working. Your parents are doing everything, it's not working. You have done 7 days fast, 14 days fast, 21 days fast, 40 days fast, until everything inside you is already shouting. And things are still not working. It's an indication that your misery is taking you to a ministry. It's an indication that something good will come out of your life. That your delay is an indication. I told you some time ago, great children don't just come out anyhow. You know what happened with the issue of Samuel? Before Samuel could come out, the woman was going to Shiloh every year. Before Samuel could emerge, she was praying. Where somebody else was popping babies anyhow. Pop, like popcorn. She was crying to God. And when Samuel came, Samuel was a special child. Look at Ruth. She went through so much challenges. Her husband died. And all of a sudden, God reestablished her. And God made her like 7 sons to a single person. 7 men. She alone is more than them. That's a great woman. That's the way you are going to emerge. That is the way you are going to emerge. I said that is the way you are going to emerge. That is the way you are going to emerge. In the name of Jesus. Is it possible that they do a family meeting in the house of Joseph? In the house of Jacob, and Joseph will not be attending the meeting we hold? Liar. It can't hold. But when he was passing through suffering, it was as if the whole world would come to an end. I've come with a word to you this evening, that what you are going through is telling a story to you. It's telling you that get prepared, because very, very soon you will begin to dance for joy. I said you will begin to dance for joy. And your generation will celebrate with you. What you suffer can show you what you can offer to the world. Joseph suffered, but he offered great solution to the world. Joseph suffered a lot because he was going to offer many, many things to his generation. You will offer great things to your generation. You will offer great things to your generation. Number what now? Number 18 lesson, and I think I better stop there for tonight. Number 18 lesson is that your pain will always come to an end if you have God with you. Once you have God on your side, they say one with God is a majority. Once you have God, in Romans 8 verse 31, I believe, Romans 8 verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, there's nobody that can be against you. Listen to me. The presence of God, the availability of God in your situation is the guarantee of your shining. I can predict the future of somebody that is walking with God. I can predict the future. I can almost predict 99% where the person will end. Because God is not a man that should lie, neither is he the son of man that should repent. If you walk with him, there's no way he can fail you. God has no capacity to fail. There's nothing like maybe with. He has no capacity to fail. Once you are walking with God, there's a guarantee. There's a guarantee. And the guarantee is more than Guarantee Trust Bank's guarantee. It doesn't matter how long you have been in pain or strain. If you can get God to your side, he will terminate it. Let us note the following as I close. Number one, God will never leave you if you don't leave him. God will never walk out on you. How many of you know that you can be dating somebody or engaged to somebody, and the person will just wake up one day and just walk out on you? How many of you have seen such in films, or you have heard such, or you have experienced such? He just wakes up one day and he just walk out on you. What's wrong? Nothing. Okay, what did I do? Nothing. What is the issue? Nothing. Why are you behaving like this? Nothing. That is man for you. That is man for you. But God will never just walk out on you and say, I just feel like leaving you. Lie, he can't do that. Number two, key point, as 18b, is that you must realize that you are always on God's mind. Please, get this very clearly. God can never forget you. Never. You are always on his mind. For we know that all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. We know that everything is working out for our good. For I know the thoughts I have towards you, the thoughts of good and not the thoughts of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God is always thinking about you. He's always thinking about you. He's always thinking about your welfare. He's always thinking about how things will get better for you. He says, if you as evil men know how to give good things to your children, how shall he not with him freely give you all things? Matthew 7 verse 11. So if you can be thinking of your children's welfare, how much more? How much more? The Almighty. How much more? And 18c. God will do it if you hold on to him. That thing that you are trusting God for, he will do it. That great heist that you are dreaming of, he will do it. That place that you are trusting God to get to, he will do it. There's a condition. Hold on. Hold on to God. Hold on. Don't be somebody that is easily waved by the waves of the world. If the world is blowing towards this place, you blow. If it's blowing towards this way, you know. You stay stable, trusting in him. Let your heart trust in him. That was what happened to Joseph. Joseph was inside prison, and he prepared palace clothes inside prison. Because when they sent for him, he did not say, I'm coming, or please get me clothes. He just went inside, he shaved, and he changed to the clothes he had prepared. Why? He knew that one day God will shed light on him. one day God will remember him. I don't know what you have been going through. That your one day has already arrived today. I said that your one day has already arrived today. That your one day has already arrived today. Hold on to him. Let your heart be fixed on him. David said, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed on you. My heart is... May your heart be fixed on God. I say, may your heart be fixed on God. I say, may your heart be fixed on God. May your heart be fixed on God. May your heart be fixed on God. My prayer for you here today, it doesn't matter what is happening in the world. If only you can let your heart be fixed on God, like David, you will emerge as a great man, a great one, and not only an inspiration to yourself, you become an inspiration to everybody around.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.